And today I'm with Matthew Wiley, a Texan, but he lives in Toronto, Canada. Made quite a move up to the Great White North up there. And Matthew, by profession, he's a smart guy. He has a master's degree in literature, and he's teaching at a private school up in Toronto. He teaches English and philosophy. But in his free time, Matthew is a very prolific mobile photographer. And so, Matthew, welcome, and glad you're here with us today.
Thank you, Bob. I'm very glad to be here with you.
Yeah, I think we can learn a lot from you. Your work is really interesting. But before we get into that, I wonder if you could spend a few minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, what you do, how you wound up in Toronto, and how that all came together to make you the photographer that you are today.
Okay, thanks, Bob. I grew up in Texas, and I've always been interested in, stories, storytelling, and always really enjoyed books and reading from a very early age. And I think throughout my life, my studies in school, my young adulthood, I've been really interested in writing as on my own, poetry and short stories. So this has been a really important aspect of who I am as a person, and that's slowly, I think over time, began to translate into photography. I've always loved to take photos and to view others' work as well, but it wasn't until recently, after my move to Canada, when I had a bit more time to focus on photography, and particularly with when I got my iPhone, it really changed the way I looked at photography, in particular, taking my work and my approach to my work a bit more seriously, which was a couple of years ago. And since then, I'm really interested in exploring the relationship between storytelling and photography, particularly street photography. So that's kind of a little bit about me and where I am now. I'd love to tell you more about it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about it too. So how'd you wind up in Toronto?
I met a girl.
Aha.
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old son, and we all live here in Toronto, and it's been a wonderful adventure, if I may say so.
Oh, it's a wonderful city. I love it there.
I do. Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah, we try to get up there as often as we can, at least every couple of years. But yeah, nice place. It's safe, clean, great transit system.
It is a wonderful place for photography as well. So many different cultures and spots that are distinctly unique in terms of the layout and the people you'll find there. So it's been a fun place to explore with the camera and the eye.
Yeah, one thing I like about Toronto, and I don't know if this is still the case, but it was like a big wheel. And if you go out from the spoke of each wheel, you wind up in a different neighborhood, a different ethnic group.
That's correct, yeah.
So, one day if you want to shoot people who are Eastern European, you can take the bus a few blocks away, and then you're down, you're in that area, big Chinatown. So it's still like that, huh?
Exactly, and just such a rich array of scenery here, in terms of the cultures and the layout of the city. So it's been really it's a great place to explore for sure, especially as a photographer.
And what do you typically like to shoot?
Well, I don't think about it a lot. I notice upon review of my work or when others will point it out that I tend to focus on single subjects more than a group of people in my composition. I usually focus on people in movement, and I tend to focus on elderly people or really young people, I've noticed. And I'm still kind of exploring that myself in terms of why I'm naturally inclined to photograph those types of subjects. But I tend to be drawn to people who in the moment are alone or solitary and in movement. And I think that perhaps part of the link there is, as I mentioned, I'm really interested in the idea of storytelling and photography. And sometimes as a creative exercise, what I will do is I will go out on the streets attempting to capture an image that will inspire me to inspire some sense of a story, like a plot or a character for me later in my own writing. So oftentimes I will notice the subject in motion or a look on someone's face or a moment in the half light that will trigger in me the idea for a character. You know, where are you going? Where have you been? These are fascinating questions for me that I think I kind of use as an impetus to shoot with.
Well, as somebody who's majored in literature, obviously you've done a lot of reading. And is there anything in your that you've read that has really influenced your photography? I mean, for example, are you, when you're photographing some of these subjects, are you thinking about maybe some characters you've read about in something?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good, great question. I am sometimes. Some of the, I guess since we're talking about Toronto here and kind of where I'm mainly stationed, I think one of the interesting things to me is the romantic poets that maybe some of us have read at one point in our life, you know, Wordsworth and Keats and Shelley and whatnot. I, you know, we know from them that they love to go out into nature and, you know, have this spontaneous overflow of emotion that they would experience there that would inspire them to write their poems and whatnot. And I don't have, you know, wild nature is not as easily accessible to me where I am, but I certainly have this urban, you know, jungle and landscape that I go out into. And when I'm there, I feel really natural. I feel very comfortable when I'm shooting, and I'm always alone. I'm always by myself. I'm doing it. I think as I'm shooting, I'm reminded of or inspired by some of the romantic poets and how they kind of approach their poetry. And oftentimes, Bob, either two things will happen. I will be currently reading something or rereading something, either for pleasure or for a class, and I will highlight a passage, and I'll use that passage as a motivation to go out into the streets to try to capture an image that complements the passage or that visualizes the passage. So that's been a fun for me creative like exercise. You know, I've got this nice set of words here. Let me go and try to see if I can represent it visually. And then the other thing I'll do is the opposite. I'll go out and take shots without any verbal motivation or guide, and then I'll come home and attempt to find a passage that will complement it in some way, or I will write my own kind of extended title to it. And I think I've shown you one of those types of photos. But these are just fun creative pursuits for me to keep being on the streets interesting. And I think to have me connected to it, I want to be connected to my photography. I'm not interested in being objective, and I'm not interested in straight documenting what I see. I think it's impossible to avoid subjectivity, so I'm not going to pretend like I'm completely objective there.
Yeah, that brings up a photo that we're by the time this interview is published, the photo will have been in the previous issue. And the first one will be in our Street Shooters of the Month for April. And I really like you. You told me the name of the photo, the title of the photo. I won't say the whole thing, but you said the title of the photo is "I See Again My Schoolroom in," I don't know how to pronounce the word, Vira. And the blue roses of the wallpaper and the open window and so on. And I go, wow, that was really cool. You know, a lot of photos are Guy Walking Down the Street or
Yeah.
Untitled, but you obviously put a lot of thought into not only the content, but the title of the photo.
Thank you. Thanks for noticing that. Yeah, I with that particular photo, it was taken in Prague, and recently I was I'm traveling there with my school actually, and was reading that particular passage on the bus, and just there was this moment in the city, you know, with this guy and this hat, and he's looking off kind of upwards in the distance, and it just it made me happy. The quote makes me happy, so I put the two together.
Yeah, especially I guess being a teacher as well, because you're talking about the school. That's I don't know. Yeah, that's very interesting, because you know, many of us just go around blasting away and don't put that much thought into it. Now, one thing I did see in your photos seems to be a recurring theme, and maybe it's just me, but I see a lot of birds. You have a number of photos with birds. There's one with two birds, and they're really interesting. And do you have a particular affinity for birds, or is it looks like pigeons?
Yeah. No, I don't have a particular affinity for birds. And that's funny that you point that out. I don't even think I've noticed that myself. But like I said, I love if it's ever possible to capture a single subject and with a bird or two in them. I think there's something I guess we're all kind of drawn to with the flight of pigeons or of birds, you know, can complement the photograph itself, but nothing I'm particularly conscious of in terms of the birds.
Okay, I thought that was very interesting. It's amazing what you find out when other people look at your work, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it's strange to hear others talk about it, actually.
Oh, well, your stuff just jumped right out at me. So,
thank you.
Glad we had an opportunity to talk. Well, are there any photographers that have inspired your work?
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, I could speak a lot about that, actually. Really. It wasn't, you know, as I said, I've taken photos really for the last 20 years with cheap, mainly digital cameras. Never really had enough money to afford a heavy-duty SLR or whatnot. So I've kind of always, that's always not, you know, been out of the equation for me. But I still was able to use the, you know, the cameras that I did have I always felt, and others, my family and friends did as well, to capture decent shots or to capture something with a nice composition. But once I got this iPhone a couple of years ago and started realizing what it could do in terms of the quality of the images, as well as some of the apps that you can use now, and the whole process of sharing your photos socially has been a revolution for me in terms of the way I view my photography. I take it much more seriously now than I ever have. And, you know, this handheld camera that we have, this the iPhone, the way it's democratized photography to me is one of the most inspiring and fascinating things about where we are right now in the genre, or with the field. I'm certainly not a professional and don't have any background in that, nor am I ashamed to admit that. But it's been really fun to be introduced to both professionals and amateurs in this field because of the mobile photography network that that is out there. So people like Kochi Hernandez, for example, and his Tiny Collective, the group Tiny Collective, they certainly have an influence on me. I really like the aesthetic, the mood, the image, and the idea that most of the images are in some form or fashion meant to tell a story or connected to some sense of a story. So you know, discovering the, Kochi and the Tiny Collective group, kind of by accident, was really comforting to me. It was encouraging because, you know, I was able to identify with the group that I was already attempting to develop an aesthetic, aesthetic I shared. So that was really, really wonderful. And then there are others in the community as well who are really big inspirations for me, like Dan Cristea, who lives in Toronto as well. And so, yeah.
Aren't there a couple members of the Tiny Collective in Toronto?
There are. Crispin Giles, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and Dan Cristea are here in Toronto. And I think that's it.
So do you guys get together?
I haven't yet. I've spoken to a couple of them over the internet, but and had a couple of opportunities to meet up, and it just hasn't materialized yet. But I expect that it will sometime soon, hopefully.
I know there's a group of photographers in London. We've interviewed a few of them on here, and they formed a really nice group there.
And, okay.
They're not, well, I guess some are mobile photographers. They're all street photographers. But so I think that's really good that, you know, people in a community like that can actually get together and meet for real.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, we do so much virtual meeting or communicating that, and I think there's really no trade-off for actually talking to a person live and, you know, sitting down with them with a beer or a cup of coffee or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Just talking about things.
Yeah, completely agree. And, you know, some of these communities I've been a part of, like through Facebook or Instagram, you know, they have met up. And I have met a few of my, I guess, virtual friends internationally to meet up and have some discussions. And, yeah, there's certainly no comparison to that versus the virtual sharing. You can probably learn more in one day from shooting with someone else than spending time talking to them or reading a book about it, for example.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, you mentioned a little earlier you couldn't afford to buy an expensive DSLR. I'm going to say you don't really need one. You do some really interesting work with the iPhone, and I think you said you're using Hipstamatic mostly, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I am. This is the first app I ever downloaded on the iPhone. Fell in love with it. It's an app that, for those who aren't familiar with it, it essentially it kind of resembles the, I guess, some of the old analog elements or even the old toy camera from the 80s. But essentially what happens is you were given a lens and a film, and they have, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 different combinations you can, or lenses and films that you could combine, and really for an indefinite amount of combos. And this has been my go-to app for sure. Anytime, whether it's street photography or taking a photo of my son, the images are great, and the creativity, the experimentation with the lenses and the films has been really fun and really fun to work with as well.
So which lens and film combination do you normally use?
For street photography, I have a couple of presets that are almost always sure fits for the for what's going on for the scene. There's one called the G2 lens and the AOW Deluxe film. These are great combos, or the G2 lens and the Black Keys Super Grain film. Very great, stark contrast between the whites and the blacks in your subjects. These are really good, especially for sunny days in the streets. Those two are my main go-to combos. But in general, the Black Keys Super Grain film and the AOW Deluxe film are great black and white films that you could really combine with any lens that Hipstamatic offers. and experiment with it on your own, depending on the lighting, or maybe you're in the subway, and you'll have some experimentation to go through to figure out what works for you and what doesn't.
Are those films in-app purchases, or are those?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they sure are. So basically, if you're new to Hipstamatic, each lens or film is, I think, around 99 cents. Some of them are offered free, I believe, some of the older ones. And then every first Friday of the month, Hipstamatic offers a new combo. So it's been really fun to anticipate. Some of them you like, some of them you don't. But there's a huge online community of Hipstamatic users and who are doing some really amazing things with that. And I might point out the website Hipstography. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I point that out, it's run by a very interesting man from Belgium named Eric Rosen, who has been really a pioneer for the Hipstamatic app and mobile photography in general. He's not employed with Hipstamatic, but just a very passionate individual about the community itself. He's set up this site that is really, it's read and contributed to internationally. And it's been, you know, really supported and contributed to by by professional photographers, for example, Kochi, Benjamin Lowy, David Loftus, and some others, and even some of those people, like, you know, David Loftus and Benjamin Lowy, even have contributed their own creative expertise to the Hipstamatic team. And Hipstamatic actually designed, for example, lenses and films that were based on these photographers' work. So this site, Hipstography, essentially will publish things like photos of the day, or even more interesting, combo sections where users will submit a combo portfolio. And by combo, I mean you're using a Hipstamatic lens and an app, a film and a lens, and attempting to put a portfolio together that really showcases not only a very good set of photos, but it showcases a good usage of the combination, the combo. And so this site, Hipstography, is a great site. You can go to it and search combos and see what comes up. And, you know, I think Mr. Rosen only publishes the best. I know he's very selective. We probably all know, those of us who have submitted work to him. But you can really, it's a great way to study the combos and what Hipstamatic offers. There are also sections strictly devoted to street photography. So it's something to look into if you're interested in the app or in playing with different tools for your street photography.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll put a link to that in the article notes.
That'd be great.
I'm definitely going to go look at that myself. Using the iPhone and the Hipstamatic, you've talked about Kochi Hernandez a couple times. And one thing I found very helpful, he did has a series of videos. I think it's on lynda.com, and I'll have to look it up and put a link to it. But he had it's a free video, and it's actually mm-hmm. him walking around the streets and mm-hmm. shooting on the streets with his iPhone. And he has a neat technique because he uses the earbud. He uses the button on the earbud to trigger the shutter, the volume up button. So I thought that was really cool. So I'm going to put a link to that as well. Hopefully it's still up there. But
that's great. I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, check it out. I hope it's still up. It's been a while since I looked at it. I've got a question for you though. I'm just curious. I have Hipstamatic. And I haven't used it much, I think, because the screen is so small. It's just that little box. Or
you
maybe you
to...
can turn that off. I haven't dug into it very deeply. But if you've got any techniques for using this tool that you could share,
sure.
I think a lot of people would find that helpful.
Well, a couple of things to address your first point. You actually, when you see the little the viewfinder or the little box, you can double click it and it will enlarge. And so this is, you'll get a larger screen that you're probably more used to with other apps or the original iPhone camera. So you just double click on that and you'll be able to see a larger frame. But with that said, for street photography, for shooting from the hip, the phone is wonderful, and Hipsomatic in particular. Everyone, what if everyone always says, the best camera is the one you have, but I think also the best camera is the one you're most comfortable shooting with. And I've become very, very comfortable with my phone, holding it to the side or next to my hip, even pointed upward, slanted, and clicking away with just your thumb on the little yellow button on the Hipstamatic app. I've gotten some really nice shots and some really candid captures that way that I would not have been able to get, at least not up close, probably would not have been able to get with another camera. So, my advice is, if you've never used it, practice using, try it and practice using it in a way that you're probably not comfortable with or used to at first, and see if what happens, because it does some really nice things. I've found, particularly with street photography, and particularly when you're moving. I don't stay still a lot when I take photos. I'm usually moving with my subjects. So being able to hold the camera parallel to their faces, or being able to hold it next to my hip and shoot with Hipstamatic, you usually get about, you'll shoot about 7 or 8 straight before it'll pause for about 30 seconds to develop. So it's fun to see what you get. And I don't know, the maneuverability I have using the phone versus what I can imagine holding a regular size camera, it's been great.
I tell you what I always do, and I'm always getting my finger in front of the lens because of the way it's placed on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you prevent that. Maybe I'm just holding it wrong.
Yeah. I hold it towards the bottom of the phone, when you open the Hipstamatic app, it'll make more sense. But, my hand is on the bottom of the phone, and my thumb can easily click on the yellow button, and you don't need to look at your screen. I never look at the screen, so whether or not I've enlarged it or not is irrelevant. I'm looking at the subject that I'm shooting, and I'm not ever looking at the viewfinder. So it's that aspect's kind of redundant to me. It's just all I need is the phone in my hand, holding it on its side and clicking away with just my thumb.
Do you use that special camera case that I've seen makes the iPhone look like a little camera?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wondered.
No,
I saw that somewhere. Yeah. It looked really cool. I don't even know the name of it. In terms of the using this particular tool, Hipstamatic, do you feel that the look that it creates actually helps define your style? Or have you been drawn to this tool because of your style?
That's a good question. My impulse says that it's the latter. I've always been kind of drawn to this, to black and white, to anything that has this sometimes gritty noir effect. I like those kind of images. When I got the iPhone, I had heard about other apps, and I certainly did explore other apps, but Hipstamatic just seemed to be the one that had, especially the films. There's another one, a film called US 1776 that, it has this wonderful gritty, grittiness to the film, that I really like. So I think the pursuit of my own natural aesthetic was gravitated towards Hipstamatic. Yet at the same time, Hipstamatic's offered me these other, other combos, even color ones that I've never thought of before and have been interesting to explore even when I fail at it, which I do often.
Yeah, now you have some very interesting color photos in your gallery.
Thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, I highly recommend you look at Matthew's work in total, not just individual images, because I think it really, I don't know, I just like the way it all works together. Maybe it's just a selection that you made, but
Thank you, Bob.
yeah, but of course, we're going to have all of his links, in the notes here, so everybody can go take a look at your stuff. You say you photograph individuals a lot. Do you approach people, or are you, because you can be so almost invisible with just using a phone, do you tend to keep your distance and move on?
Yeah, I've never approached anyone. I don't spend a lot of time in the moment. I see what I want and I try to capture it. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. And if I don't get it, I don't go back and I just keep going, move on to something else. The only time I guess I'm stationary is when I notice not a person, but when I notice the light. So well, if I see an interesting shadow play on the wall, then I will wait for something to happen. And but I'm never waiting, usually not waiting on people. And no, I don't approach them. And I don't know. I've thought about it before, and I'm sure there have been debates about the ethical concerns regarding photographing people, and especially in today's day and age where we're taking photos of people and we're sharing them on our Instagram feeds and Flickr, and what do you make of that? Are there any ethical concerns? And I guess my only hope is that I feel that I'm doing something that at least I feel is beautiful with it. That I caught them in a moment that perhaps no one saw and no one would ever see. I saw them on that day in that moment, and I thought they were beautiful, and I thought the moment was beautiful, and that's it. That's all.
Wow, that's really cool. You talk about yeah, it is funny because we do share photos of perfect strangers on our sites. I fear the day when I show up on the People of Walmart. I don't know if you've ever
I haven't. Well,
seen
no.
that
What
site.
is that?
It's not pretty.
Oh,
It's
okay.
people use their phones and take photos of unflattering photos of people in Walmart who, some people tend to be dressed rather
I see. I
unusually or whatever, and
see. That's funny.
That's
Stay away from
yeah.
Walmart.
Don't go. Yeah, don't go to Walmart. I guess go to Target.
Yeah,
Just
right.
be careful with your credit card. That's all I can say. So, you're obviously an avid reader. What are you reading now? I'm always looking for something new to read. Maybe what you read is too deep for me, but what are you reading now? Or better yet, what are you reading now that influences your photography?
Well, as I love to read, and as a teacher, you oftentimes have so little time to actually read because you're reading the thing, you're rereading the things you're teaching. But I recently got back from a tour of Central Europe, where I visited the birthplace of one of my favorite writers, Franz Kafka, and I got to visit the small little home in the Golden Lane in Prague where he wrote one of his collections of short stories called The Country Doctor. It's just a collection of really short stories from the early 20th century set in Prague. And I really, I'm finishing that up. And there's just these kind of dark and solitary tales, of, I don't know, adventure and conflict. And so maybe that's what I'm reading now. I'm not sure if it's directly influenced any of my most recent shots, but perhaps subconsciously so.
Interesting, interesting. So Prague must have been a great place to photograph.
Not as much as some of the other cities that I got to see on the tour. Prague is a beautiful city, as you would assume. The architecture is unbelievable, but unfortunately, it's a tourist city, and it very much feels like a tourist city. And as we probably know, tourists don't make for great street photography. They're not the real people that you of the setting. So I didn't have a lot of success in Prague that day, but I got to visit for example, Berlin, Munich, Vienna, and Budapest during this little tour. And I found that both Budapest and Berlin were the best cities to take street photography shots in because of the lack of at least identifiable tourists and even the lack of crowds. And the lighting was great that both days. But yeah, that brings up an interesting point. And Toronto has been wonderful for that as well, because if you want to avoid the tourists, you can easily do so.
Yeah, it's not hard. Well, it's so big, so spread out. If somebody were to come to Toronto to visit and they wanted to go out and shoot on the street one day, what area would you recommend the most?
Yeah, Kensington Market is a small little neighborhood, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks long. And it's kind of has this bohemian feel to it. A lot of different cultures are there, kind of a young and old hipster community, if that's your thing. But you'll find a lot of interesting subjects and, things that are happening in this area. That's Kensington Market. If that's not your taste, Chinatown's really nice as well.
And they're close together, right?
They are. That's right. They're very close together. And my favorite, though, for street photography is the Financial District in Toronto. And I suggest you go there in the early morning hours on a weekday. There's something about it. You're going to see a lot of men and women dressed really nicely in suits and hats. And I mean, there's something nostalgic about that, especially with black and white film. I like the nostalgic aspect of street photography, or at least the types I try to capture. And I know a lot of others do as well. And there's just something about those particular garments or accessories that people will wear, whether it's a fedora or a scarf or an umbrella, a set of large sunglasses on a woman's face. You know, these are things that there's something very nostalgic about it. That's fun to capture. So that's my favorite place, probably the Financial District and sometimes Kensington Market. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So the business section, that's the business part of town. I do see a lot of people with hats in your photos.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, and I know I'm definitely not the first to photograph hats. But what can I say? It's the nostalgia. I can't think of a single accessory that adds that nostalgic element to a photo than a fedora. I just can't.
Yeah. Hey. You photograph what you're drawn to and what you like. So that's, I don't know. I think that's good. Speaking of photo, let's take a look at a couple of yours. I know we've been talking so much here. And now I've been looking on Flickr, and I'm not real crazy about the new Flickr setup here. And it seems it's not as easy to get information about photos as it used to be. I think they're putting too much junk on the screen, but... I'm gonna describe the photo,
okay,
and hopefully you'll know what I'm talking about.
I think I will.
Okay, well, this is a photo of somebody. It looks like they're maybe in the metro, and the guy, it's just a ghostly white figure walking from left to right, and and there's a sign in the back for it looks like Yonge Street. Shepherd Young or something. I love this one. It's very surreal. And I would just wonder if you could tell us a little bit about this.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you. This is at the Shepherd and Young subway. I take the subway often due to my location. And shooting the subways to me is one of the most frustrating things to do. We all know the lighting is... There's no light. The lighting is horrible in the subway, and I usually don't. I'm not able to get images that I like in the subway. But I was shooting with the Hipstamatic app on this one. I'm using that AOW Deluxe film. You can see with the border. That's how you recognize it. And I'm using a film called a lens called the Lucifer lens. And this Lucifer lens tends to be really nice on overcast days, and I guess sometimes in the subway. So Yeah, I see this man approaching. I like the way he looked. He was, I don't know, I just liked the way he looked. And I snapped as he passed. And this is the outcome. I was quite surprised by it as well. He passed by me very closely. There's another thing with Hipstamatic. There's no, what you get is what you take is what you get. There's no editing within the app, unlike some of the other apps that allow for editing. Not to say that none of my photos are not edited, because some of them certainly are, but the majority of my Hipstamatic photos are not edited. So I kind of, a part of me is certainly drawn to that purist aspect, even though I'm not a purist, but I do like it when I can get a photo without having to play with it. And this happens to be one of them. And I was quite surprised by it as well. That's the profile of the man.
And does Hipstamatic always take square photos, or is it just a
Always.
setting? Yeah, I like
Always.
that. I like the square aspect ratio.
I do too. Another thing, not to plug Hipstamatic too much, but you can actually order the prints within the app, and they will, like, for example, I print mine sometimes on 4x6, and I know it's really small, but they're fun to collect sometimes and share and play with on your wall or whatever. But yeah, and you can order larger prints as well, so the resolution is great even when you print them in large formats.
Yeah, what's the largest print you've printed?
I don't know, 8x12.
Okay, so pretty big.
Yeah.
Are you doing much post-processing? Are you pulling anything in the Lightroom or Photoshop and doing anything special, or is it pretty much what you see is what you get?
Yeah, I do some post-processing. I'm actually doing a bit more than now than I've really ever done, and I'm only doing that just to explore, just really with different images. In general, though, it's the Hipstamatic. What you see is what you get. However, when I do edit and I post-process, I'll use sometimes the software Ogle. And Oggle, Oggl, is also affiliated with Hipstamatic. It's basically Oggle is Hipstamatic's version of Instagram, if that makes sense. And so it's basically a community of creative people that share their photos. And it's an app that you download on your phone. It's not accessible through the internet or whatnot. Like you can't look at it on your PC or Mac. But you can on your iPad or iPhone. So essentially, it's the same. What it is you can, it's not only a social sharing community, but you can also take photos with the app itself, and that you can use the same equipment that comes with the Hipstamatic Classic app, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But what you can do on this app called Ogle that you cannot do on Hipstamatic is you can import photos from any device. Like they can be from an SLR, they can be from your original Hipstamatic collection. And when you import them, you can change the film and the lens. And so sometimes I will do that. Like, for example, the photo of the man, if I chose to, of the man in the subway, if I chose to, I could import that into Ogle, and I could put a different film on it to maybe darken or lighten it. And it will affect the image. It changes the image oftentimes. So, yeah, I do that sometimes to see what it. Maybe I didn't like the final result, and I wanted to see what it looks like with a different a film or a different lens. So that happens sometimes. Yes, I've been introduced to the VSCO app, which I really like as well. And oftentimes I use VSCO to. For use well only ever for color and for cropping. I like the horizontal crop options that they offer, and then sometimes I use Mextures. And I don't know if you've heard of Mextures, but Mextures is an app that I use sometimes just to give certain photos a grittier feel or a more surreal feel if I feel like my photo is that type of photo rather than maybe a straight street shot.
It's Mextures.
Yes, exactly. MEXTURES, mixtures.
Okay, and how do you spell visco? Is it V-I-S-C-O?
Yeah, and it's short for Visual Supply Company, I think. And in terms of the mobile photography market, they're right at the top with Hipstamatic, and maybe even more favored currently by some of the professionals in the field and other artists in the field. So it's certainly an app to look into if you're, I've seen some great street photography with this app as well. I'm just not as familiar with it, and I'm really not as comfortable with, just because I'm not as familiar with it. But I strongly encourage street photographers to look on Instagram or Flickr at the Visco community and see what some of the street photographers are doing with it, especially Dan Cristea, who is at Constructivist on Instagram, and that's Constructivist with a K. His work on Instagram, he's part of the Tiny Collective team, but he does some great color work with the Visco app, and some of the others do as well. I don't know their names particularly.
Okay, yeah, that's very helpful. Very helpful. We're going to have a lot of information in this article for everybody. When I took photography in college a long time ago, and the first class we had, they gave us a Diana camera. It was like 99 cents, you know, and that's all we shot with.
Wow.
And so many
cool.
of these photos. Yeah, it was. I still have some of those photos, and it has a very unique look. You know, it has lots of light leaks and gritty, you know, it's, you know, has a lot of vignetting. I think there are some apps that emulate Diana.
Well, yeah, Hipstamatic does for sure. A lot of those things, the light leaks, the vignetting.
Yeah, just a very unique look. And there's another photo I'd like to talk about. There's not a title in Flickr, so I'll just call it The Boy in the Schoolyard. There's these... They look like big buttons on the concrete, and there's a boy or maybe a girl running through them towards what looks like a school building.
Right. This was actually in Paris in December, and it's some type of a courtyard there in Paris that I was literally just walking through, and definitely the buttons caught my eye, and the girl is running across at that moment, and I just quickly raised the phone and shot. This is using the Hipstamatic as well. It's the U.S. 1776 film and the Jane lens. This was actually part of a series of mine that I was published in a magazine called Snap Magazine. It's a little photo essay and spread of my street shots in Paris. If you're interested, that's Snap Magazine is a kind of an affiliate also with Hipstamatic that comes out on, you download it from the App Store and it shows up in your newsstand. This is from the color issue, I believe.
Black and white photo in the color issue, huh?
Well, they have a spread on each month, regardless of the issue, on adventures or travel type stories.
Just making a joke. Okay, so they're on the newsstand too. You know, we're on the iTunes newsstand as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's good. Okay, I'm definitely going to check it out. This is trouble. I mean, you've got me really psyched about getting back into Hipstamatic and doing more with my phone. So
great.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah. No. I'm really I'm excited about this. So you've been a real inspiration.
Thank you. Great.
Speaking of magazines, have you looked at Mobiography? Are you familiar with Mobiography? It's published by a colleague of mine.
You know, I actually, just this morning, one of my Facebook friends had one of his photos showcased this week. So I just now, like this week, became aware of it, the Flickr group. So I'm going to look into it. One of my, I guess, virtual friends from Turkey had a photo of a boy holding a toy gun showcased this week. So I'm really, he also used Hipstamatic. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that photo that was showcased in that Mobiography Flickr group or whatnot today or yesterday was also a part of that hipstography photo of the day that I was speaking of earlier. So it's kind of interesting to see how they're all kind of cross-connected there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll put you in touch with Andy. Andy Butler's the publisher. Good guy.
That'd be great.
Yeah, he does a really nice job. It's a great magazine.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's see. And then one more photo. We've got a couple more minutes here. This is a photo of a boy. It looks like he's in an alley and he's backlit. You've got the sun just coming in right off the top. You just missed it. I mean, it looks really cool because the sunlight is streaking in over the child's head, and it's got a really long shadow that's basically reaching out towards your feet. And I imagine that's pretty tough to do with an iPhone.
Again, you'd be surprised. I think the iPhone gets a lot of knocks for the assumptions that are made about its inability to perhaps capture moments or its lack of speed and whatnot. But I've seen some amazing things done with it by people, and you would be amazed to see what it can do. And if you experiment enough with it. This photo actually is from a place in Toronto called Graffiti Alley, and this is actually ironically enough, it's I don't know if I would even consider it a street photography, because the boy, the subject, is actually my son,
and that's okay.
But it's funny. He has kind of witnessed me take photos over the years and knows that it's something I do a lot of. And he asked to go out with me shooting one day last summer, and I gave him one of my old digital cameras that I no longer use. And this was kind of a father-son photo assignment, and he was way ahead of me. I think he was running with the camera actually in his pocket, and to look at some piece of graffiti or street art in this alley that drew his attention. And what can I say? I caught the sun on my son.
Well, it's a good one. I don't care if it's not a street. Well, it's a street photo. You're on the street. You're in an alley. So
sure. Okay.
No. So anyway, I guess we're coming to the end here, but I want to do a couple things. You mentioned several different photographers during your conversation, and if you can pick one person who's probably been the most influential on your work, who would it be?
Wow, I have to pick one. That's difficult.
Yeah, just pick one. Yeah.
Richard Tochi Hernandez.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good choice.
He's just we all know how talented he is. We all know that he's a professional. We all know, he's a professor. And we all know how wonderfully artistic he is. But aside from the general aesthetic that I'm attracted to in him, his support of the amateur community has been really encouraging. And he's, supported me a bit in various ways by giving me encouragement. And I'm not the only one. He's been a real mentor for a lot of people, and I think that's a wonderful thing to see a professional be able to do. And I love his vision of embracing the future and not staying in the past. And he's aware that the field is changing, and he wants to move with it and not against it. And I think that's inspiring.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Actually, I refer a piece of his work to a lot of my clients. My main business is I do web development for people who do training sites. So I work with a lot of people who do online training. And he and his students created an ebook maybe a couple of years ago now. And it's all about using the iPhone and the iPad for news gathering purposes. So they have this great resource about all these gadgets and gizmos and pieces of apps you can get to use this small device for professional news gathering. And so I have people link to his site to download that book who are starting to do training videos, simple training videos. because all they need is an iPhone or an iPad. And with the techniques they talk about. Yeah, so it's very good, very helpful. I hope he doesn't mind me sending people to a site to get it, but it's really good. But anyway, we're getting off topic. So you've been doing a number of things. You said you're in SnapNet magazine. I want to make sure we get we'll get the iTunes link to that and put it in here in the in our article. But any other places? Any do you have any shows coming up or any other publications you're going to be in the near future?
Actually, ironically enough, tomorrow there is a an event in Los Angeles called the Month of Photography LA exhibit, and it's essentially a group who of people who have collected photographers from around the world to have a showcase, and they have these different exhibits every month. And this particular exhibit that I'm a part of tomorrow is a group of about 12 or 13 international photographers who are all on Instagram. And essentially what's happening is for about a week, or about some selections of our work will be on exhibit and for sale. But the proceeds of the sale go towards this group called Snapshot that I'm very new to. I'm just now learning about this group, but apparently it's an organization that offers photography classes for young kids in the underserved areas of Los Angeles. So it sounds like a really interesting cause, and I'm really honored to be a part of that itself. You know, and I think this really, you know, if I may just quickly, I think this speaks to kind of a larger issue of the conversation that I hope we all as a community can continue having in the future. But, you know, about the current state and future of photography. And, you know, Kochi calls it a golden age of photography. And I think there's something to that. There's something to the fact that, as probably, you know, most of us know by now, you know, there were more photos taken last year than in the history of photography combined. You know, I know there's arguments about, well, what does that do to the quality of photography? But I think at the same time, you know, there's something positive and really inspiring about people having so much creative, creative potential, literally in the palm of their hands. You know, I don't have to go to museums anymore to be inspired. I don't have to go to take a class from a famous professor to be, greatly inspired anymore. I'm just constantly surrounded by it, and it's right there in my hand. The community, the social community on Instagram, Flickr, Facebook, whatever it may be, it's amazing to see what so many people, you know, ordinary people, are able to do with their work or with their phone, with these apps, with the stories they're telling, with their photography. That's an incredibly beautiful thing to me. That is the revolution. And I think that's something that is exciting to be a part of and witness and watch where it's going.
No, you make a very good point. I mean, I just see such tremendous work every day. It's hard to keep up. And I know there's been a lot of photos taken. I think that just makes it more difficult to find the good stuff. But when you find it, it's really cool. So,
yeah,
I agree. All right. Well, Matthew, where can people find you?
Well, I have one more thing. There's a book coming out in probably this summer called Street Exposé 2. And it's a second volume of the original edition called Street Exposé. And it's essentially a book of global street photography from street photographers from around the world, literally from many, many different countries. I'm really proud to be a part of this. And it's a self-published book, really nice quality. So people can look out for that and be introduced to other street photographers from around the world, both mobile photography and professional photography as well.
And where will they be able to find it?
That will be available sometime this summer. And I believe, they can definitely follow me. And whenever I find out exactly what medium it's going to be used to be published, because it is a self-publication, I can let people know.
Okay. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I want to back up too, because you're talking about the Photo LA. And this program will actually be coming out after that's over. So I wonder if you could just give me a couple more details on the dates.
Yeah, it's part of MOPLA. MOPLA. And that stands for Month of Photography LA. It's part of their ongoing exhibition. And I can tell you now that this one that I'm a part of is running from April 16th through the 20th, I believe.
And where is it?
It's in LA on Moulton Avenue, I believe. You can find the information, though, on basically MOPLA.org. And okay. They have their program section. It's MOPLA.org. And you can see what this is about. This agent organization called Snapshop, that I was speaking of about the photography workshops. Admission is free to the event. And it's called the Instagram Jam, actually. That's what they're calling this particular exhibit under the Month of Photography, Los Angeles.
Well, perfect. We'll get that information and put it up on the website.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, get it up today because it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
So now, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram. That's probably where I concentrate the majority of my street photography. My username is @m_Mateos, M-A-T-E-O-S, all lowercase, @m_Mateos. I'm on Flickr as well, and I do post there regularly. And, it's @Mateos. Not @m_, but @Mateos.
Okay, cool.
I have a Facebook group called Hipstamatic Street Photography that has about 900 users or members. So you're welcome to join the Facebook group and, share some of your, it's just a very casual group of sharing your street photography shots using the Hipstamatic app.
Okay, we'll put a link to that too, and I'm going to join.
Great, thanks.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Matthew. Appreciate your time. Take time out of your busy day to do this. And it's been a pleasure, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure for me, and I very much thank you for the support and the encouragement.
Oh, yeah, anytime. It's my pleasure.